thank you for being here tonight. I was introducing the service tonight. If you love a good testimony, and it's my great privilege tonight to introduce to you the church Brother David Hernandez. You will know him by vision and recognize him when he stands up here. Brother Dave was introduced to our church by Brother Joey Callahan. Brother Dave came forward. He'll tell you about it in one of our services back in July of 2011 and trusted Christ as his Savior. And he got saved that day, but and truly knew the saving hand of God. But during the course of the next few months and years, he had to learn how to live in the freedom of Christ. And that was difficult on him. He's going to tell you about that. Our flesh is strong. Our flesh is powerful. Our flesh has pull in our lives. But greater is he that is in us. Amen. And we know that. And so 6 months ago, he went and got involved in a ministry in Rockford, Illinois. He's been away from us for 6 months learning how to walk in the freedom of Christ. And God has done such a work in his heart, changed him and taught him. And he has a good testimony for Christ. And I'm excited for you to hear it. I'm excited for you to identify with it. Now listen, I love you and I would. It's a privilege to be your pastor, but I'm not foolish. I know myself and I know human nature. We all need to be reminded how to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ and live our lives. So I'm praying that as he gives his testimony, that God will just lift us and teach us and encourage us. Would you please welcome Brother David Hernandez? Come on, Brother Dave.
As you guys know, I'm David Hernandez, and I was born and raised in Florida. I'm 43 years old, and Pastor just finished saying, I got saved in July 24, 2011, and things started changing in my life. You know, I received God, and it was just kind of like, you know, when you accept something good, you can't do anything wrong anymore, you know. And things started going wrong when I would start doing wrong. And just didn't have the appetite for it anymore. I did not get raised in a Christian family. My family was nothing but against Christianity. They were from Cuba, and they practiced something that was called Santeria, you know, and idolatry is called. And, you know, I grew up around a lot of people like that. And but God is good, and he led me here, you know. I got saved, and, a little over 6 months ago, the devil laid a snare, and I fell for it, you know. And I walked away from the church, and I was away for 4.5 months, and my life wasn't the same, you know. God was talking to me, and, just wasn't the same. I was living wrong, and I finally cried out to God, and, you know, with all my heart, and took a little bit. But I finally got the courage enough to pick up the phone that weighed like 50,000 pounds, you know, and give a call to my brother, Joey Callahan. And, he told me, you know, come to church, come back to church. And I sure did, you know, came broken, you know, and he took me in and gave me everything back, you know. That felt good, you know. Not too many people do that for you, you know. But I love my church family, you know. And there was more work to be done, though. You know, about a week goes by, and Pastor and Joey tells me, Pastor would like to talk to you. And I said, all right. So I went and spoke to Pastor, and Pastor told me, David, would you like to change your life? You know, and with tears in my eyes, I told him yes, you know. And he told me about this place in Rockford, Illinois, called Reformers Unanimous. And the next day I was on a flight, you know. I got there to Reformers Unanimous. Brother Reuben took me. And, you know, I started claiming victory. I had a very bad cigarette habit that I couldn't stop. I had it for 28 years, and the longest I could go without a cigarette was 3 hours. And I'm just giving the example of cigarettes amongst other things that I have picked up, you know, throughout my old life. You know, it was very hard for me to stop on my own power. But once I rededicated myself to Jesus Christ and, you know, started claiming those victories, actually something started happening with me. You know, John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, I'd like to share with you some truths. Jesus created all things. John 1:3 and Colossians 1:15-17. Jesus before all things. Colossians 1:7. Jesus is prayed to. Acts 7:55-60. Jesus is worshipped. Matt 2:2. Jesus is with us always. Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." John 14:6. Jesus cleanses from sin. 1 John 1:9. Jesus disclosed himself to us. John 14:21. Jesus gives eternal life. John 10:28 and 5:40. Jesus gives joy. John 15. You know, my life has changed. I was weighing 128 pounds when I got into Reformers Unanimous. I now weigh 175 pounds. You know, there's just some things you try to, you know, God on, you know, things that the devil deprives you of, you know. The devil deprived me of a life that I thought I couldn't live, you know. But now, today, I'm living that life, you know. I am blessed, you know, beyond measured, you know. I'm blessed with a good church family, awesome church family. I'm blessed with people that pick me up when I'm feeling down, people that correct me when I'm wrong. No matter how much, you know, I need correction, they stick by me and correct me. Also, they taught me there about the spiritual person, and they taught me that my body is not mine anymore. It belongs to Jesus, and Jesus is ruler over this body today. Like Pastor said, he that is in you is greater than anybody, you know, and if you put that to the test, his word will let you know it's real. Not me. It won't be me. It'll be him and his word. It taught me that my flesh has to be crucified every day. And like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, you know. My mind is transformed, Romans 12:2. My will walks after love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where in the flesh it used to be in self-love, frustration, worry, quick-tempered, harshness, meanness, doubt, discord, and self-indulgence. My spirit today yearns after salvation for other people, forgiveness, and assurance, self-worth. And my body today is a temple of God. He resides in there, you know, and I take care of it today. I also got a couple of muscles, you know. And being over there, it taught me a lot. I really needed to put this to the test, and I did. And Jesus won, you know. Jesus won. Plenty of times I went down. They had this chapel in the basement, and they had this wooden cross with his thorns on there. And many, many, many nights I went there and cried to Jesus, cried out to him, and telling him to change me and to, you know, change my whole life, you know, that I give my body to you, you know. It wasn't just like one night I got saved and, you know, everything was lifted up off of me. And he needed to know that I was real, that I was broken, that, you know, it was time for me to change. And they gave me God's plan for prosperity. And it's in Psalms, and the first book of Psalms, and it goes like, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And right there, they gave me 10 principles to live by, you know, as a way of success. And they are, if God's against it, so am I. Every sin has its origin in our hearts. It's easier to keep the heart clean than it is to clean it after it's been defiled. We cannot fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. Small compromises lead to big disasters. Those who do not love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. Our sinful habits do hurt those who follow us. It is not possible to fight fleshly temptation with a fleshly weapon. We lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptations. Our consequences are inevitable, incalculable, and up to God. And then number 10, God balances guilt with blame. Accept the blame for your actions, and God will remove the guilt. You know, and God is so awesome to me. You know, I love God, and I love my church family. I can't say it enough. You know, I hurt a lot of people. And I can't do nothing but just show you guys, you know. I love you guys, you know. Thank you for being with me and here and accepting me back how I am. And I love this, the last part of Psalms 1, and it's, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and what his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like a shaft that the wind bloweth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, I believe this to be true in my heart. You know, when I was out, I was not standing in the congregation of the righteous, and I believe y'all are righteous. Today, I am righteous. Today, I stand upon the rock. Pastor asked me, you know, and he told me to give it some thought, what I'm about to ask you. And he asked me, what does Jesus mean to me? And I look at him and I told him, he means everything to me today. Every single thing. You know, I wouldn't trade him in for the world, you know. I hope to continue to grow in him. I love Keith. I go to Keith's Bible study, and he was preaching on forgiveness today, and, you know, trying to keep up with him, and it's awesome. You guys are awesome. Thank you for having me back up here, and That's what I got. And amen.
I said, David, when you end that testimony, you end that thing on what does Jesus mean to you? I ask you that question. What's he mean to you? I think you answered it about as good as it could be answered. He's everything to me. He's my life. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my friend. He's my all in all. He's my hope, my comfort, my righteousness, my provider, my protector. He's my great high priest. He's my intercessor for me. You know, the reason that a man denies Jesus is because a man doesn't really know how great he is. You were giving your testimony, and I couldn't help But think what Jesus said that day when he was preaching in the book of Matthew. And he'd been preaching to these people, and they were his own people. But they were stiff-necked and stubborn, and they didn't trust him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't want anything to do with him as a whole. But he knew there were folks out there that were listening and were believing. And at the end of that message, this is what Jesus said. And I'm going to read these verses to you. And I really do believe that the same invitation that Jesus had then is still available for a man or woman today. Here's what Jesus said. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. David, does Jesus give rest? Amen. Amen. To the laborsome and heavy laden. And by the way, that's all that sin does is burden us down, laden us down. He was right. The devil was trying to rob him of a life that was promised him in Christ. I'm not necessarily sure that our church will want to get right with the Lord if they're going to put on 50 pounds in 6 months. But muscle comes with that, I guess. But I see people, and all the devil is a liar. That's all he is. All he can do is counterfeit. Remember, he's not eternal. He is a created being. He was a created being that chose in his will to deny and to reject Jesus Christ. And ever since the day that he was kicked out of heaven, all he tries to do is imitate. So he will try to be God to you. And he'll tell you that Jesus is not a good God, and he'll be a better God. He'll tell you, if you come my way, I'll give you salvation that will make it, and I'll give you these things and I'll do all this. But Jesus nailed him. Jesus put it to him and described him in a way that he cannot ever get rid of. And here's what Jesus said about him. Jesus said this. He said, he's a murderer. He's been a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What do you do with that? Where does he go? I mean, Jesus just pegged him. He said, he'll kill you. And all he does is speak lies. So we've got all these people that base their life off of the lies that Satan is telling them. And I think to some degree there is some legitimate trust in him, some legitimate belief that if I go this way, it's going to be better. And you will find if you follow the liar, he'll kill you. He'll kill you. He'll destroy you. And one day, if you follow him to the end, you will face the second death that the Bible teaches about that. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And I promise you this, this book in our Jesus is no liar. He's the truth. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest under your souls. If you're here tonight and your soul is at unrest, then the rest you're looking for is in the Lord. By the way, that goes for an unsaved person, that goes for a saved person. If you're an unsaved person and you feel the labor and ladens of life, and you're looking for rest, you're not going to find it in the things of the world. You're not going to find it in the addictions that life has for you. You find it in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer in Christ, but you've been like David, and you stepped outside of that, and you started following a way that was not right, and you have a life of disobedience, then you're going to feel the labor and laziness of your own sin, and the rest that your soul is filled with unrest. And so where do you go? You go to the rest giver. You go back to the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David said, I cried out to God. By the way, when you said that, it reminded me about the David in the Old Testament. He cried out to God a lot. And then Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. People think that Jesus is heavy. So I witnessed to a guy one time. I'm not sure he was playing with a full deck or all his marbles were in sync or what he had just come from. But he's like, wow, that's heavy, man. People think Jesus is complex. The Bible says there's a simplicity in Christ. So how simple is it? Here's how simple it was. I was born a sinner, lost, unable to save myself. I needed a Savior. So one came and died for my sin, shed his blood to cover that. They put him in the ground, and 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. And now he says to you and me, all the work for salvation has been finished. All you have to do is believe. Believe, believe, and receive me as your Savior. And let me tell you something. David was right. When you cry out to Jesus and he comes in your heart and you begin to go toward the Word of God, things begin to happen in your life. Amen, Christians. They begin to happen. Nobody can force you. It's up to you. It's up to you. But the greatest decision you'll ever make is the decision to be saved. David was introduced to Christ by Brother Callahan. And before we have our prayer, I want Brother Joey to come. And I want you to say a word about David. And then I want you to have a prayer. And I want you to ask God to continue the work in David's life that has begun. The devil would love to sift him, pray protection upon him. The devil would love to say, well, that guy stood up there and said in front of all those people that Jesus could, and puts a target on you. David knows that. If he messes up, I'll kill him, not Jesus. But you understand. Come on, Brother Joey, greet the people. And then I want you to have a stand before you pray, okay?
God is great, amen. I met David 13 years ago now, and he came to work for me, and it's been such a long road, but here we are today. He got up here today and shared his testimony with us, and what a wonderful person he is today. When Reuben had told me about this, you know, he was going to go up there, I was like, man, I don't know if he can do it. But you know what he did? He went up there and he did it. Me and Reuben went back up there to pick him up in July, and me and Reuben got to attend the Friday night class, and you want an eye-opening experience. You listen to that Friday night class. You got people that come in off the streets, and you got people that live there, and to hear their stories, it will touch your heart. So David has come back to us, and he is a new man now. And I told Reuben, I said, it looks like David, but it doesn't sound like David anymore. I said, he's definitely a changed person. With that, we just continue our prayers for him and be with him, and we welcome him back as like we do everybody else. And we love him dearly and with every inch of our flesh. So we just want you to understand where we come from. So can we stand and pray? Heavenly Father God, I come to you tonight. All the glory goes to you, Lord. The man David got up here tonight and shared his testimony, and what a renewed person he is. You live inside of his body now, Lord. You're inside of his heart. what he brings to us now is a different word. Lord, I just want you to continue to grow with him. First Peter says that Satan is going around like a roaring lion, to see who he can devour. I just need you to protect him. And Ephesians 6 says there's a whole armor of God. David needs a whole armor of God. He needs to put it on every day. Lord, we need to put it on every day so that we can have it and walk with you, Lord, and just want David to continue to grow in your word and be able to share his testimony with numerous people, share the gospel with people who never heard the gospel, Lord. And may his testimony help others that struggle in the same areas where he used to struggle, Lord. Just continue to be with him and glorify him in your name. Lord, I ask you tonight, I pray to you that if there's some here tonight that never received you as their Lord and Savior, that they might get the courage to walk down this aisle tonight and come visit with these people and learn just how precious of a God you are. We love you, and we want to share the gospel with everyone. Lord, if they don't have the courageousness to come down here, let them stay out there and ask us, talk to us. We'll be glad to share the gospel with them, Lord. They will, once they get to know you, Lord, and get you inside their heart, they will know the joy that you share, yeah, that you have, Lord, that you can present to everybody. Lord, I just want you to be with each and every one of everybody tonight. Lord, I just want to thank you for answering prayers, Lord, the prayers of any people in this church that prayed for David and pray for each and everybody that's here. Just protect us and keep a hedge of protection around us so that we may continue to walk in your light, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Remain standing. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come and be here. And guys, be in the aisle if you are. You might be here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need a change in my life. I need to be saved. I need what David has. These people here have a Bible. And they're able to take, if you were to come forward, take 5 minutes, take you in a room over there, teach you to know Jesus Christ. Christian, you may be here and you may be in a position of backsliding. And you are under the heavy burden of that sin, and it's killing you. What are you going to do? You're going to lay down and die? Or are you going to cry out to Jesus, the restorer of our soul? Maybe you need to come and fall on your face tonight and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I surrender my life. I need you in this area.